This morning's scripture reading will be from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
So this morning we're going to bring to a close this short study that we've engaged in when I've had this section of our services for the last couple of months on being useful as we age. Previously, we've looked at three topics that we can do even though we're advanced in age. We started out with be an encourager, be a sharer, be a prayer warrior, and we conclude the series today with this exhortation that we can be an example. Paul often exhorted others to follow his example, even as he did in the passage that Brother Pugh read to us. He did that with his two proteges. To Timothy, he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity show yourself to be an example, and show yourself an example of those who believe." And to Titus, he wrote in Titus 2 and verse 7, "In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine dignified." Now we recognize that those first two passages there are spoken to those who were young or younger, Paul to a younger disciple, and they were spoken to young men that we would consider today as ministers. They were sent by Paul to do works in various places. But Paul also made that similar exhortation to all Christians, and that was the text that I had Brother Jim read for us this morning, Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. And if you look at that text, Paul really cites two kinds of examples. He tells them to follow his example, and then he points them towards people who are the wrong kind of example. And if you follow those examples, they are headed to condemnation, and that's where they will lead you. And so Paul was able not only to tell people to follow his example, but he also pointed them out fact that there were others that they could see who also walked after that example. So ultimately, the example that Christians follow is not simply those of other Christians, but whether it be Paul or other Christians that are living the way they should, they are really following the basic example that is set by Christ. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." And so Paul said the ultimate example is Christ, and then those who follow him serve as examples that we should also follow. Now, Paul was not the only one of the inspired writers that spoke in that way. Peter, speaking to other elders in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And so he said, even the eldership and performing its work as the Lord's shepherds over a flock of his people are primarily to do that by example, by living the kind of life that would lead others to live the right kind of life. And so, as we have been doing in this series of lessons, I recognize that none of these passages were actually addressed other than this last one to elders, who by nature of their qualifications are older Christians. But the ones to Timothy and Titus were to fairly young men. And yet the theme of these lessons the last 2 months is, well, we can be an example as we age. What can an older Christian do? And so if we just want to make application to that and think about that theme and recognize the principles behind these passages, that Christians are to be examples to one another, that as older Christians, those who are maturing in the faith, maybe those who are getting near the end of their lives, their lives can also be an example, and it's very important that they be an example. So we would suggest, first of all, that we need to be examples of pure doctrine. One of the sad things that you can often observe is as people get older, for whatever reason, life is difficult, and life brings lots of challenges, it brings lots of trials, lots of difficulties. And sometimes people abandon the things that they have believed and practiced through a good bit of their lives. And I think there is maybe an attitude that you often find among churches of Christ, and that is the attitude that being able to do certain things is what it means to be a servant of God. I have had this conversation with someone who was concerned that the congregation where they were attending had gotten too large. And, you know, that's all perspective. In their minds, it was getting to be too large. It was obviously much larger than us. But if you were to go to Texas or Louisville or Nashville, Tennessee, or some of the places, Atlanta, some of the places where in churches of Christ have 400 or 500 members, this wasn't a very big congregation at all. But the thing that he said is, well, it gets so large that a Christian can't do anything. And what he meant by that was, if you can't lead, if it's so large that you only get to lead singing once a month or once a quarter, or you don't get called on for public prayer, or even your turn to wait on the table doesn't come up but once every 4 months, well, that church doesn't use you. It doesn't have any service. And, you know, really, that is about the least consequential thing that any of us do. Even those who teach Bible classes, those who stand in this pulpit and preach sermon, those are good things. But it pales in comparison to the power of an example. And there's no church that gets, no congregation that gets so large that it doesn't need people being able to see other people care about each other and practice hospitality and show love and those kind of things, and believe and practice what the Bible teaches. And so even as we get older, we have to be concerned about that pure doctrine. And there are examples of what we would call more famous preachers who in their older age no longer stood for some of the things they stood for earlier. And some of that could be the effect that as we get older, our minds are not as sharp as they used to be or whatever. At West Carrollton, you're pretty safe, because if I start to get out of line, there's a little lady over there that's a pretty good Bible student who has no problem at all telling me you're out of line there. You need to get your doctrine straightened out. But all of us need to be concerned about that it's very important for those who are younger, for those in our family, those in our church family, to see a resolve that as we get older, we're still going to stand for the truth. We're not going to get tired of being who we ought to be and believing what we ought to believe. And then good works. We need to be an example of good works. And people should be able to see that even though we're getting older, that doesn't mean we've stopped serving. That doesn't mean we've stopped doing good. And, this congregation has had good examples of that in the past. And we've lost some of those folks. People that some of you here wouldn't recognize if I mentioned their names, but some of those that have been here a good while would. But we've always had people that did those little things, not to be seen of men, but because they cared. They did visit people when they were sick. They did take the widows and make sure they got their groceries. And they did those little behind the things scenes. And that needs to be done, and that needs to be continued. As you get older, as you maybe don't have the strength and energy that you had when you were younger, you can still have the strength and energy to do that. And then you can be an example of good character. There's a saying that says there's no kind of fool like an old fool. And it's always sad to see one that is older trying to act like they were stupid and young. And so that example of steadiness and a good, solid character and of having your values where the values ought to be, that would be something that even as we get older, we can still do that, and we can love. We can love like Christians are supposed to love one another. And finally, we can be examples of devoted service. And that is perhaps the most important example that we can set as we get older. And it is that example of faithfulness. Now, we are not going to have the time to read this entire passage or even comment on the entire passage because our time is almost up. I actually have the entire passage printed out here, but Hebrews 11, and everybody knows that. They've heard sermons on it being the hall of faith and various things like that. There's some important things that inspired writer says in Hebrews 11 about our theme and the importance of us continuing to serve as we get older. In Hebrews 11:1, he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he says that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is the imperative of our salvation. You can't please God without being a man of faith, without without your faithfulness. And at that point, the Hebrew writer starts through this familiar series of Bible heroes and says, by faith Noah did this. And by verse 8, by faith Abraham did this. And by faith, verse 11, Sarah did this. And verse 21, by faith Jacob did this. And verse 22, by faith Joseph did this. Verse 23, by faith Moses did this. And he gets all the way over and basically mentions Rahab in verse 31, by faith Rahab. And then he says, I don't even have the time to talk about all the faithful. I can't tell you everything that Gideon did and Barak and Samson and Jephthah of David and Samuel. And then he summarized what they did. And they did it all by faith to the point of even suffering martyrdom if necessary. And he says, all these in verse 39, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. That is, they died before Christ came. They get the benefits of that promise, but they didn't live to see it fulfilled. But the thing I would challenge you to do is the next time you have the time, or take the time later today, to read this passage and go through all of these things these faithful people did, and find the one person named in there that was perfect. The one person in there that the Bible doesn't show us their flaws. And so what we see is they were imperfect people who gained God's approval by their faith. And each one of us could probably, as faithful Christians of our own, sit down and make a list naming people that would be our examples. And I could give you the list, and some names you would recognize, but a lot of names on my list you wouldn't know. And I'm sure that's the way it would be about you. But the fact of the matter is, getting old is no excuse for taking yourself off of someone's list. People need faithful examples. And they need examples of people who were faithful unto death and received a crown of life. So may each one of us recognize the value we add to God's kingdom, even in a small group like this, just by being who we are and doing what we can do, and do it for the rest of our lives. Brother Jose has the prayer this morning. I ask Richard to lead that prayer, and we'll be dismissed to our Bible class.